Welcome to our sermon podcast here at City of Light Anglican Church. We are a new church in Aurora, Illinois, finding a new day in Jesus. We want to see the light of Jesus rise and shine in our hearts, in our homes, and in our neighborhoods. Thanks for joining us for today's message.
Have you ever been so moved by something that caught your attention? Something beautiful, something that almost brought you to the sublime. Could be a sunset, could be something like a story you read, could be something related to your work, whatever it is you do. Sometimes it takes us a while to really receive what it is that we're witnessing. It takes us some time, maybe repetition, maybe some time just to sit with something like that. There's a poem that did that for me. I want to share with you guys very appropriately. It's called Easter Blessing, and it's written by a poet named David White. And this is what it says. The blessing of the morning light to you. May it find you even in your invisible appearances. May you be seen to have risen from some other place you know and have known. In the darkness, and that carries all you need. May you see what is hidden in you as a place of hospitality and shadowed shelter. May what is hidden in you become your gift to give. May you hold that shadow to the light and the silence of that shelter to the word of the light. May you join every previous disappearance with this new appearance, this new morning, this being seen again, new and newly alive. There's a lot there in this poem, and I didn't understand why it captivated me at the very beginning. I sat with it, I read it over and over, and I even listened to a commentary on it, and I realized this line that says, may you see what is hidden in you as a place of hospitality and shadowed shelter. May what is hidden in you become your gift to give. That there was something in there of an invitation for me to see those parts of my life that are hidden from me and maybe from others as well as the very place where I receive blessing the most and the place from which I bless others and others receive blessing. And that may or may not resonate with you. You might be wondering, what in the world are you talking about? But that's actually besides the point, because the truth is that we've all experienced something like this. This past Sunday, we experienced the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that, as the single greatest event in all history, takes a long time to fully receive it, to fully process it, to embrace it, and maybe just sit with it for a season. That is why I'm really grateful for the season of Easter, because we are receiving something that we received initially on Easter day, but we are receiving more and more and stepping deeper and deeper into it. And this season, as a church, as a body, we're going to be making this connection, a really natural connection between what happened on Easter Day and its most natural outcome, the thing that comes out the most naturally from there for us, which is that when you witness the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you become a resurrection witness. When you witness the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you bear witness to it. That is the most natural outcome, which is that we are so shaped by this event and by what we've witnessed, what we've experienced in the hidden places of our own lives, and we go to people and we say, you have got to come and see. You have to see what it is that we have seen. The reading that Yomardi read this morning, the gospel passage, begins actually not with like exuberance and all this Easter joy, but a lot of fear and confusion. The first Easter night, Jesus appears to his disciples, and they are found really worried because they have believed that Jesus was a Messiah. They put their lives sort of on the lines for it as well, their whole livelihood. They followed Jesus for all those years, and then Jesus died and he was no longer with them. So they're trying to think about what that all means, but then suddenly the tomb is empty and Mary is saying, no, he's actually alive. He wasn't, you thought he was dead, but he really isn't. And they're just like, you know, mind blown. It's like, what is going on? We're gonna lock the door and figure this out. And I do wanna speak to those of you who might be feeling more like that. Maybe you had a hard season, maybe you've had a hard Holy Week, maybe Easter morning wasn't, you know, all that amazing for you personally. But I want to show you here that Jesus still comes. Even that night and today, he is still showing up because he is alive. He doesn't appear selectively to his disciples. He doesn't say, okay, John, you're good, you believed. Thomas, I'm a little disappointed in you, but you're okay. Peter, no, I'm kind of resentful. Jesus doesn't do any of that. What he does is come into their midst. He comes into our midst, into our homes, and he breathes peace. He breathes shalom. In the very act of saying peace, what he is doing is actually creating that peace, creating that reconciliation. Where there had been resentment, perhaps, or where there had been betrayal, where there had been difficult history, he wipes that clean, he forgives, and he brings that, the undoing of all that went wrong. Peace. And he breathes on that today, that to us as well. I did look at lots of commentaries about this, because I didn't quite understand what was going on, and I read every single commentary, and they all said the same exact thing, that back in those days, people didn't wear masks. and breathing on people was not like a life-threatening gesture. It was actually a good thing. So I don't know, but that's how they explained it. What they did understand about breathing is that John here was sort of invoking Genesis, where God himself sees a pile of dirt and breathes on that. And breathes on it, and it becomes Adam. It becomes a living being. Adam and Eve are formed by the breath of God. And not only that, but he also gives this new identity, this new creature, a way forward. It says, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. And I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but the Bible doesn't say, and God gave them a command. It says, God blessed them. And he said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth. The command is a blessing because it gave Adam and Eve, it gives all of us a way to sort of move forward in our identity as creatures of God, to be vice regents, to be co-leaders with God in this creation. And we are blessed to inhabit that identity that way. And so Jesus turns around to his disciples, and he turns around to us, and he breathes on us. He says, peace. And then he gives us this new identity and this new blessing, this new command. As I have been sent, so I send you. Be fruitful and multiply. The Lord is blessing us with a way to live into this identity as a resurrection witness, as one who is witness from death to life now. We have witnessed that and we go forward. It is so important for us to see this as a blessing that Jesus is inviting us into. We are called to this new identity as resurrection witnesses and to live into that all the days of our lives. We proclaim forgiveness, as Jesus right there says, to those who repent. And for those who refuse to repent, we withhold it until they do, because that is what it means to be a steward of the gospel message. That is what it means to be a resurrection witness, to bear witness of the gospel of reconciliation for all people. But Jesus says, as I was sent, so I send you. which of course begs the question, what do you mean by Jesus being sent? Because he's kind of like God himself, and he's the Word of God. And if you look at what John has been saying all along about who Jesus is, the light of the world, the life of the world, for God so loved the world, he gave his Son, not to condemn the world, but to save it. Jesus was sent as light, as love to the world. And in the same manner, Jesus turns around and says, will you continue my mission? Will you go into the world in love as the light of the world? We are called to be his body, the scripture says, his body on this world, to be the very salt and light for others. That is our resurrection witness identity. And as our very own name bears, gives us, we are little Christs. We are Christ bearers. We have witnessed Christ in those hidden parts of our hearts, all of us, right? In those deep places. And it is in those deep places that we have witnessed the resurrection. And now that is our gift to give the world. All of us who have witnessed the power of death and resurrection of Jesus are now co-laborers, co-dancers, co-participants with Jesus in this beautiful adventure that is to bring the kingdom of God to people's lives. And I don't know about you, but that makes me want to be like, oh my goodness, please come and see the Lord is good. And I don't know where you're coming from. When you think of like sharing the gospel or evangelism, I know a lot of us can carry like burdens with that. But here's the very first thing that Jesus does. He breathes on people to free them toward this identity. And my invitation to you right now is to let Jesus breathe on you. It's just let him do the work in you to convince you that this work of being a resurrection witness is a blessing. It is a good thing, and it is the most natural outcome from when we see Jesus raised from the dead. This whole season, we're going to be talking about lots of different ways to engage with this identity and with this mission as a church, as a body. We often have to go individually into different places, but we're doing this together. And so we're going to talk about lots of tools and lots of different ways to be thinking about this. But for this morning, all I want to do is invite you into a posture of intentionality with this. This is where we begin. We just have to sort of make a choice. The reading, the first reading from Paul, it says at the very beginning, so now we regard no one from a worldly point of view. This whole section, always the attention gets drawn to new creation and being an ambassador. That's great. But I was so struck by this sentence. We no longer regard anyone from a worldly point of view. To regard people from a worldly point of view is to think of them as means to an end, as tools to get what we need or to get what we want from them. It means to kind of pre-evaluate people based on what they contribute. It means to judge them first and foremost by maybe their skin color or by their gender or by their how much money they have. And we see valuing people in that way, but Paul is saying, no, we're no longer doing this. Now there's only one group of people, which is those who need the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Some of us have found it, praise the Lord. But we're looking as well for everyone to step into that resurrection identity, to receive the blessing of the resurrection, to see everyone as a new creation. And when we see people who are part of the old creation, who are still living away from Jesus, then we invite them. That's all it is. And this is not, as it's happened for me back when I was younger, to think about this as sort of like alienating people, you know, you're in, you're out, you're saved, you're unsaved, you're elect, you're not. It's none of that. In fact, quite the opposite. Jesus is saying, we all need this. We all need this. And we are constantly receiving this. We're constantly embracing the resurrection power. And we want to invite others into it. We no longer see people from a worldly point of view. We now see them from gospel eyes. I want to invite you to have that posture as we begin this season of in the series of as resurrection witnesses. The one thing I did want to point out today especially is this bookmark we have. If you don't have it, it should be in your bulletin. If you don't have it, there's plenty there. There's even some in Spanish if you want to give it away. There is a section that says, who in your life is God calling you to pray for? And there's this acronym that I wanted to teach you, which is FRANK. FRANK, it's the acronym that means, it refers to these categories here, friends, relative associates, neighbors, coworkers, or maybe colleagues. And what I want to invite you is just to think about those people in your life who fit these categories. Who are they? Those who may not know the Lord. And just write their names down as a gesture of that intentionality. That from now on, you're no longer going to look at them from a worldly point of view, but as one who deeply wants to invite them to the Lord. And I want maybe write three, four, five names down in each of those and just begin to pray. Begin to pray that the Lord would work in their hearts. The Lord would find them in their hidden places. And that they would receive the fullness of God's salvation. And that we perhaps would play a role in that. That would you pray that God would open doors for you to share with them? That is what it means to be intentional about this. It's to be a resurrection witness, to commit to see people through the eyes that God has, that God sees them by, and to invite them deeper and deeper into this life, this adventure with Jesus Christ our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from City of Light Anglican Church. We'd love to hear from you. You can find us online at cityoflightanglican.org. And now, may the light of Jesus scatter the darkness from before your path.